You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
All right, we are in second from in the two for Thursday. I still want to say two for Tuesday, but this one's the Michigan Mailbag. One everyone gets excited about on a weekly basis, and it's the best show every week. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. I'm your man on the ground, Isaiah Hull, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. You can listen to my recap, my analysis. This is going to get so much worse when we're on video. Adding another element to my inability to talk. At least you'll get to see me fumble doing it. If that's the case, I don't know. Anyway, this one's the mailbag, so let's get to it, starting with our leaders and best, James Crudup at James Crudup 6. If Michigan could have a joint practice and then a preseason scrimmage against two teams, which two teams would you choose? Is the no fans or media during camp a Michigan policy or a Harbaugh policy? I'll start with the latter question. I can't speak to before Harbaugh, but I do believe that there was generally an ability to go see practice at least a little bit before him. And I know that other teams, of course, you know, Ohio State just allowed the media to see the entire practice. And I know, like, I have friends that cover other teams. They often get to see either the start of practice or, in some cases, the whole thing. Very much a Harbaugh thing, I believe, mixed with Michigan. As far as if Michigan could have a joint practice and a preseason scrimmage against two teams, I'd want one really good team. I'd probably want two really good teams. I'd love to see it if they could have one against, like, Alabama. Just because. I know it's probably going to be geographically close, but I would love to see one, like, against Alabama. Really tell yourself where you're at, you know, right away. Here's what we need to know. Michigan holding its own against Bama? Well, that's a pretty good sign. Michigan getting blown off the ball? Not good. Like, if Michigan was able to return like everyone had in 2019, in 2020, I think that they would have, because, I mean, they went toe-to-toe with Bama. Don't make any mistake about it. Granted, Bama probably didn't want to be there very much, but still, they went toe-to-toe with the champs. So I'd love to see them get a game against Bama. And if you had to pick like an in-conference one, I don't know. It would probably have to be a team that they don't play all the time. So looking at the West, I'd probably say like Iowa would be a decent one. They're pretty, but at the same time, I want to see someone with a more modern offense. So that makes it a little bit more difficult. I'm going to stay with Iowa. Again, trenches, the most important thing. You can go up against that defense and do some stuff. I think you've got a good shot. Josh Barrett, Jadicky. So just looking at which players were given for media availability this week, specifically Jeter and Schoonmaker, who do you think that's indicative of how those position battles are going, or are they picking who speaks with the media based on something else? I think it's always indicative of if you're going to see them quite a bit. I mean, Jeter's a starter. He didn't lose his starting position. He's still a starter. So there's that. Schoonmaker, I think, is just going to be, I don't think he's going to be the starter. I think it's going to be Eric All, but I think you're going to see a bit of Luke Schoonmaker. I feel like they're not going to give you a guy that isn't going to play, right? That just doesn't really happen. Unless it's like something where, like, hey, they earned a scholarship, you know? You might get, and he's not on the team anymore, but you might get Adam Shibley because of something like that, right? Or if they had a big game. But generally, you're only going to see those guys if they, in the preseason, if they're going to play. Luke Schoonmaker is going to play. I mean, he looks like a monster at tight end, but I think that tight end room is maybe a little bit more loaded than we think, because Eric All's probably the starter. You have Luke Schoonmaker. Sounds like Matthew Huebner's doing really well. I would be hard-pressed to think that Joe Honingford's not going to play, right? Because, I mean, he lost 50 pounds to be able to be a tight end. You know, they completely switched his position and his body composition. My brother in metal, Michael Wolf, at MWolf21. What would you consider a successful week one in terms of score yards and yards against? Score? I don't want to see any more than two scores from Western Michigan. Whether it's six, I'll say five. Well, we guess we can say four, but chances are that's not going to happen. Don't want that, but because that would not spell very good for the offensive line. So let's say six. Let's say either if it's six or 10 or 14. I want to see two. I want to see only two scores allowed from Western Michigan. I want to see Michigan get above 40. Ideally more like close to 50, but above 40 I think is a win. Huge win. Can't complain if it's like 38, but I don't really want to see 31-13 type. I'd rather see something that's Michigan needs to be better defensively than Middle Tennessee with offense that ends up being that high. As far as yards against, I want to see under 300 yards against. I think that's fair. I'm allowing for some ability to for them to go down the field and then Michigan makes them stall out. As far as yards for, I'd like to see 450 at least. Ideally, I'd like to see above 500. Successful is 450. Blazin' is 500 and above. Blazin' actually would be like 600 and above, but I don't think they're going to get 400 passing yards and 200 rushing yards. But I'm going with like 150 rushing yards and 300 passing yards or 200 rushing yards. More ideally, 200 rushing yards and 300 passing yards. I just want to see him get, I would love to see the quarterback get 300 yards passing. I would love to see that. And I'd still love to see the run game work. Finishing us off in segment one, Jimmy Whitner at Jimmy Whitner One. If you could go back in time to cover any historical sports event, what would you cover? Number two, if Michigan finishes 10-2, would be the offensive and defensive MVP. I think Aiden Hutchinson is probably the defensive MVP. Regardless, I think that's just what it's going to happen. Very well could be Josh Ross, though, if they go 10-2. Offensive, whoever the quarterback is. But, yeah, I'll say whoever the quarterback is. I'm not going to add a but. As far as the historical sports event, that's pretty difficult because it would probably be Michigan related. I'd probably want to go to that 1969 Bo Schembechler Ohio State game because Michigan was not expected to win that game at all. That would probably be mine. I'd say honorable mention would probably be one of the 80s Pistons games. Maybe even the loss, the Isaiah Thomas hurt ankle game at the Forum. I think that would be just a hell of a game to see. I probably watched it, but I'm way too young to have remembered it. I remember I watched a lot of those games against the Lakers, but that would probably be it. Yeah. All right. Let us move on because we have plenty more to get to. Hey, guys. So there are a few things in life that just aren't fun to talk about. One of them is excessive sweating. You know, when you're sweating through your shirts for no reason, it's embarrassing, right? Some of you may know that I personally dealt with this. When I speak in public, I can't help but sweat through my shirt. Now, listen, I know this isn't life and death, but there are much worse problems in the world. But let's be honest. In the moment, it feels like a big deal. Nobody likes to put out during an important speech, interview, or first date, God forbid. I'd much rather not worry about it. That's why I use Sweatblock antiperspirant wipes. Sweatblock is stronger and more effective than most clinical antiperspirants. You simply apply it at night before bedtime, go to bed, and the next morning you wake up, wash, and go about your day without worrying about sweat. Guaranteed. I know this will sound too good to be true, but I literally only have to use Sweatblock once or twice a week. It keeps me dry the whole time. No more pitting out. No more picking my shirts based on which ones will hide sweat better. If you or someone you love is dealing with this, you have to check out Sweatblock. Get it today for 20% off at sweatblock.com with promo code LOCKEDON, or you can go to Amazon or CVS. All right, continuing on, segment two, the Victor's Valiant. They showed up in force today. Jim in the North with three. With coaches seemingly every role on the team, what is Harbor's role? I'm not sure what that means, but it says, is he coaching quarterbacks or Harbaugh? It probably means coaching quarterbacks or another position. Harbaugh's got his hands in kind of everything. I have a quote. I'm not going to pull it up because they'll take too much time, but he got his hands in a little bit of everything. I don't think he's not like sticking with one position. He doesn't have to. He's the head coach. So he's, and I think he's probably a little bit more involved in the defense now compared to Don Brown, but he's made it clear he's more on the offensive side than the defensive side. So there's that. With Cade being the first quarterback in a while to have any starting experience in a system, is there a chance we see a Spate Rudock type progression? You hope so. I mean, I thought you were going to get that with Milton last year, but it didn't happen. Spate hadn't started before, but Milton didn't have the spring, you know, didn't have non-conference, didn't have the spring. So I think that helps the idea that Cade can be that type of guy. I think whoever the quarterback is, I feel, is going to be a lot better than people feel just by virtue of it'll at least look competent. Because I feel like we get that, immediacy bias or whatever, where you feel like, well, they were bad last year, so they're going to be bad again this year type thing. I think that Cade certainly has the capability more than anyone else because he knows the offense. But, I mean, if JJ is a gamer or Alan Bowman, who sounds like he's third behind them, I feel like I just feel like it's going to be Cade. I think it's pretty obvious at this point. Why do people get so bugged when we run the ball? We did a great job running with Devion Smith. People want to see flash. It's just like in baseball. You don't want to see, you know, singles. You want to see dingers. You see him sock some dingers. A little bit of the Mark McGuire from The Simpsons. Do you want me to explain how this all worked? Or do you want to see me sock some dingers? I just think that people are less about the whole running the ball thing. I think it's just they don't want to see you run in the middle of the defense. They don't want to see you run off center or off guard. And they think it's too predictable. But listen, the really good teams do it, right? Michigan just hasn't been one of those really good teams. But if the offensive line can move people, people didn't hate running the ball when Caron Higdon was doing his thing, but you know, it's all about success, right? You hate it because it doesn't work. You love it if it does. The same thing, maxim is the head coaching thing. The Brady Hoke. Brady Hoke doesn't wear a headset, and it's great in year one because they won. But a couple years later, incompetent. Put on a headset, dude. You know what I mean? KRT at Farmer 84. Why do you think Michigan has struggled on the road under Harbaugh? Has he ever commented on that? I'm sure we've asked him. My memory isn't serving to remember any specific response. I don't know, but it's like something about just playing in front of the home crowd. I think that's kind of, I feel like that's why they lost at the Big House this year, is just not having the home crowd. It wasn't really a home game for them. I struggle to say that they were mentally soft like some of the previous teams, but that's kind of what it feels like, right? Like mentally soft, can't handle playing in front of these raucous crowds. Doesn't like, they don't look as amped for the road games or the bowl games, right? They just are kind of there. It's just going through the motions. Whereas before home games, it's like they're going at it way more. Hard to explain, but you can kind of get the feeling before a road game when you're on the sideline that it's just not the same. It's weird. Brandon at Brandon S616, from previous podcasts, sounds like you think highly of Jim Harbaugh offenses. Would you like to see him take over as OC if Gattis doesn't work out? No, because I want him to be the head coach, but I wouldn't mind him dabbling more if Gattis doesn't work out. Him becoming the bona fide OC, no, but like someone who will allow him to put his fingerprints on a little bit more squarely like we saw in 2015, 2016. I'd be fine with that. Continuing, do you think Dickinson is being difficult by complaining about not able being able to use the Block M? Pro athletes can't use team logos either. Yeah, I do. I think it's being given an inch and taking a mile. Not disparaging Hunter Dickinson, but... And I know, like, Jordan Acker spoke to the football team. Harbaugh asked, hey, can you figure out a way to get him to use the Block M? And they said they're going to work on it. I think it's just a matter of being patient. I didn't listen to the interview. I just saw, like, the snippets of text and whatever, so... I don't know how jovial it was. Because it sounds like it was pretty lighthearted anyway. But, I mean, it is one of those things where, yeah, I mean, you can't, like you said, pro athletes can't use them. It just is what it is, you know? Name, image, likeness, just figure out how to do. I mean, you've got the big Dickinson energy thing, which is incredible. You don't need to put a Block M on that. You know what I mean? Like, I have a Detroit Lions imprint that I am considering launching at some point. And it uses the Lions colors. It does not use any Detroit Lions logos, of course, because you can't do that. Be creative, you know? I'm Patman at @the_GDPatman. What do you make of the story the Free Press is reporting about Ryan Osborne? I didn't read it, but I was there when Rayner asked the question about Osborne participating and being like essentially a coach in the spring. Harbaugh says, hey, we addressed it really early on in camp, and it's what you know, it is what it is. Obviously, it's an issue if we're seeing what's happening in Nebraska. Analyst coaching, it's an issue, but it sounds like Michigan nipped it in the bud pretty quick. I think it was a worthy question, but I don't think it's much of a big deal unless the NCAA comes calling, but it doesn't sound like they will. I wouldn't be surprised if Michigan self-reported or something like that, because it sounds like that's out in the open. It sounds like it's been dealt with. Harbaugh was very ready to answer that question. Spence at Spencer Whitmore. No questions this week, but just want to say great content the last few weeks. Excited about the season. Well, thanks, man. Appreciate it, Spence. Very much appreciated. Mark Z at Mark Zimke. Can you talk a little bit about hearing multiple players on defense saying that this defense fits my skill set better? A lot can be interpreted positive and negative. Thanks. I think the only thing you can really interpret is Don Brown was married to the scheme, his scheme. It wasn't about, hey, this player's really good at this or this player's really good at that. It was, this is my scheme. I'm going to try to recruit people that can run it, but those people might not be perfect for it. I'm going to try to mold them into the thing that I want. Not even just the players on defense saying that. I mean, you look at reports coming out of Indianapolis that they say that Quiddy Pay was misutilized under Don Brown. I mean, that type of thing tells you what you need to know. You know what I mean? I feel like it helps some players, right? Like, it's like, what was I watching the other day? I was watching something the other day, and they were talking about John Lynch playing in the Tampa Bay defense, in the Tampa 2, compared to if he was playing in the Ravens defense. Like, he wouldn't be anything if he played in the current Ravens defense under Wink Martindale. But he played in the perfect system for his skill set in Tampa. Now that sounds a little backwards, right? Because we're talking essentially about the Ravens defense, but it sounds like this is more tailor made for what the players can do, right? Josh Ross not sitting in a soft zone, more so running downhill. That's what you want to see. But it sounds like those guys are still backing into coverage and things of that nature. So that's how I see it. It was more scheme oriented before, now it's more player oriented with the fact that the scheme is multiple. Zach at Zach Woodruff 3. What are the odds Michigan is 11-0 heading into Ohio State week with a dominating performance over MSU? Best case scenario, obviously. I'm going to put it in the low likelihood. Let me say this. If they get past Washington and Wisconsin, then I'd put that number at like 80%. Because I think if they can get past Washington and Wisconsin, they'll get past Penn State. And I think that they'll dominate MSU in that case. Of course, I have them losing to Wisconsin and beating Washington. And I have them losing some others in the way. But overall, because I think that winning at Wisconsin is a big long shot, I'm going to say 5%. Not out of the realm of complete possibility, but certainly not likely. Jonathan Joseph at JJoseph2156. What do you think the run pass play call percentage will be for the season? I'm going to go with, I think it's going to be about 50-50. I know that's what they always tried to strive for. And usually, I mean, that's what you usually see from a lot of really good teams. I think that you'll see them try to be right around 50-50. And I know that that's what they want to be. That doesn't mean that they aren't going to be, you know, I think that you're looking for explosive runs to take the lid off a little bit. And I think that last year they were certainly not running the ball nearly as much as passing. And I think that they'll get much closer to 50-50. It's kind of weird because in normal years you'd say Michigan probably ran the ball more than passed, and then last year went hard the other way. I think regardless of how the defense is, they'll try to be 50-50. Finishing us off in segment two, Powder Records, always the new name, at @the_MikeB_show. Bold prediction, Michigan will beat every state school on its schedule this year. I'm going to put that at a 0.001% chance of happening. But love the optimism, my guy. Love it. All right. Anyway, let's move on. It's that time of year again, and all eyes are now turning to football as teams are back on the gridiron to start the football season. As always, betonline.ag is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. Get all of the updated odds, props, and contests, including the $500,000 NFL Mega Contest and the $200,000 NFL Survivor Contest. Open now at BetOnline. So head over to betonline.ag or use your mobile device to sign up today. Use the promo code LOCKDOWN to receive your 100% welcome bonus. Be sure to take advantage of their opening day super promo equals make a bet on the Thursday, September 9th season opener between the Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Dallas Cowboys. And if you lose, your wager will be refunded up to $25. BetOnline.ag is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. From football, basketball, boxing, rental horse racing, don't wait and take advantage of all the great offers available for the 2021 season. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Also got to tell you a little something about rockauto.com. It is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique. It's remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle. Choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and for do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck right locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. All right, let's move on. We've got seven left. Learn to scroll. Start with Jay Stepp at Step 1A. Can Mozzie Smith be a first-team All-Big Ten type player? Can Jeter and Hinton be second-team or honorable mention? Yes to all of the above. I mean, I think that Jeter and Hinton can be first-team. Again, Jeter, I know I have a lot of faith based off of what I saw in 2017. Hinton's a five-star, you know? I think they all have that capability. But we have to see it. I'm not predicting it. I just think that they have that capability. I mean, I've bought into Mozzie. We have to see it all work. Until we see it all work, I'm not predicting anything. I think at least one of them will be at least honorable mention. I'll predict that. But beyond that, I don't know. But I think they all have that capability. Mozzie Smith's a 4-star. Jeter's a 4-star. Hinton's a 5-star. You would expect that from those guys. Especially because Mozzie in Hinton's third year, it's Jeter's fifth. And Jeter seems to have a pretty good self-diagnosis as to why things haven't gone right. Jason Taylor at Jason Tay underscore. What do you think has contributed to the recruiting class of 2020 from playing so early? I can't think of a class in recent memory that has had so many guys competing for starting jobs as true sophomores or redshirt freshmen. I can, 2016. 2016 had like 15 of 22 guys that were second-year players. It happens when you have, when you recruit well and have a massive amount of departures. Because let's think back to 2017. And this is going to be difficult because I can't remember everybody. But Ben Bredesen, who had started the year before. Chris Evans at least started the season as the starter at running back. Cesar Ruiz and Michael Onwenu. Well, Michael Onwenu started out the gates. Cesar Ruiz was starting by the end of the year. So that's there's four guys right there. Trying to think tight end. In 2017, well, Sean McCuen was a co-starter with Zach Gentry. There's five. That's five on the offense alone. I didn't even touch defense, which had 10 new starters. Rashawn Gary, Devin Bush, Josh Metellus, LaVert Hill, David Long. Let's see. Who was that safety? I mean, Tyree was the third year. At that point, who else was at safety? I already had Josh Metellus, that's right. Other linebackers. I can't remember, but I just named 10 guys. Up front, like I mentioned, Rashawn. Mohurst was not a, you know, he was a senior, but you get my drift. They had 10 guys that were there. So, it happens. Some teams are young. Michigan is still, they're still out there saying, hey, it's a young team. They have experience now, but it's still a young team. Sports, Carolina Hurricane and Hornets takes basketball gold net. I don't know what that means. I'm sure some of those are emojis. At Hask Dog. As a fan base, when will we stop the ridiculous preseason hype? Players who improve so much, rah-rah. Is it over if we go 24? 25 against OSU. When is it time for us to shut up and win? Listen, this is the preseason. This is what happens in preseason. I don't know why some of you people get so mad about it. Number one, we're going to talk to coaches and players. We're going to ask them who has impressed. Because that's usually a signifier of who is going to be those next guys to step up. Not just going to happen. Like, I feel like a lot of people get really angry about talk when that talk is just stuff that's coming out of the press conference. Michigan is not out there saying, man, we're just going to be dominant. We're just going to kill everybody. And they're certainly within their purview to say, this guy's taking a big step forward from what we've seen before. That's not like boasting. It's just literally just saying what they've seen. Sometimes it's a direct question, who has taken the biggest step forward that you've seen? And that is certainly a worthy story. I want to know. Heck, I remember asking Jim Harbaugh in 2016. What players, maybe it wasn't me in 2016. Regardless, I remember him being asked in 2016. What player what freshman has impressed you the most? Chris Evans, like the first person you named. And guess what? You rattled off a couple touchdowns in the first game. It's about getting information from what they're seeing in fall camp. I don't understand why people get so upset about it. Like I've said a bunch of times about like Mike Sainer still Eric All. Those guys are doing good in practice. Just because you don't see it on the field in a game doesn't mean they're not doing good in practice. Those things are not mutually exclusive. Draws my ire when people get so worked up about preseason reports. Sorry, it happens at every school, every single one, every pro football program. It happens at every basketball program, at the high school, the college, and the pro level. I don't know why Michigan fans are so upset about it. It doesn't make any sense to me. I understand. They don't always pan out. Guess what? They don't always pan out at other places either. All right, whatever. Unrefined pirate American football basketball musical score. Again, probably more emojis there. At 20 Roar, coaches named the QB starter. Who will be the starting five up front? He's got a couple more questions, but I'll this is my stab at it, and I think this is probably what it will likely end up being, at least to start the season. I don't think it will be what it is to end the season necessarily, but I think this is what the start of the season will be. I think it will be. We already know Ryan Hayes is the starting left tackle. I'm projecting Trevor Keegan to win left guard. I'm going to say Vestardis gets to keep his center role. Zach Zinter at right guard. We know that's he's cemented as a starter, whether it's further interior or there closer to the edge. And Andrew Stuber, who is cemented as a starter right now at right tackle. I would not be surprised if Zinter is the center, Stuber is the right guard, and Trente Jones is the right tackle. I also wouldn't be surprised if Chuck Filiaga is the left guard. But I think that what I said first is what you'll see at first. Looks like that's what they rolled with in scrimmage based off the pictures they posted. Andrew Anthony wears the number one jersey. Can his camp performance indicate he performed similar to others that have worn that number? No, because he got that. Well, I mean, I don't know. I haven't heard. But I'll say that he got the number one jersey before fall camp started. So they're not abiding by the Braylon Edwards rules, FYI. They just aren't. Otherwise, the number one jersey, like Nico was supposed to wear it. That's still an honor that can be given. That's not necessarily a tried and true thing in the Harbaugh era. Remember, Kakoa Crawford got it in his sophomore year, and he was not number one receiver type. Continuing, for lack of better phrasing, which is the best or strongest position group, and which is the weakest position group coming out of camp so far? I don't know, to be honest, because I haven't. I talked to some people, but I didn't get that far. So I don't know. At this stage of camp, have you changed your projection win total? If so, why? I'm staying at 8-4. I'm feeling 9-3, but it's the same time. Like, I want to see it just as much as anyone, right? Like, what I heard, the conversation I had with a former player who was there for the scrimmage in the big house or whatever over the weekend really made me think about 9-3, but I have to trust my preseason analysis and say 8-4 until I see them do some things otherwise. I think they have the capability of certainly, like, being 11-0 going to Ohio State, I said 5%. Being 8-9-2 going into that game, I'd put somewhere more like 50%. I'd say that I'm pretty 50-50 between 8-4 and 9-3 at this point. I'd say 51% 8-4, 49% 9-3. That's just where I'm at. Adam Kasel at Adam_Kasel. What are the keys to success on defense and offense this year? He's got more, so we'll continue. Oh, let's just read it all. What will it take to start out quickly on offense? The first series of the first game only happened under Harbaugh versus Florida in 17, I think. They started out quickly against Minnesota last year. Starting quickly equals scoring points on the opening drive. Oh, he said it didn't happen against Minnesota. I guess I'm just misremembering. Didn't happen against Utah, Hawaii, Notre Dame, Middle Tennessee, or Minnesota. As far as starting out quickly, I don't know, having a really good script. as far as the keys to success on defense and offense, defense is just the linebacking core, in my opinion. Have competent linebacking. I'm not as afraid of the secondary as others are. Really, you're just looking at one corner that's maybe questionable right now. I think we're thinking too much about weeks two and weeks three and four. Not even four. Weeks two and three in 2020. We're not really thinking about the last couple games. They still got burned a few times, but everyone does, right? Like, Alabama gets burned a little bit, you know? At Michigan, it's like this. They get burned at any point in time. You're like, you know what? Shut it all down. It's being burned as part of football. Not everyone's always going to be in the perfect position. Offense, it's quarterback play. Pretty simple. Evan Gordon at EV_Gore1. Colson injury update. The only thing I can go off of is what he posted to his Instagram story when he said that he's, he didn't say it, but he intimated that he's not playing in fall camp. That's all I know. Chubbs GB at Talk with Chubbs to finish us out. Do you think JJ will get reps kind of how Okorn did with Spate here and there in games, or will he only get reps in blowouts if we have any? I think it's too early to say for sure. I'd like to see some consistency at the quarterback position, essentially. But you figure him and Alan Bowman, because the old adage, Alan Bowman probably didn't transfer here to sit on the bench. I don't know how it's going to work. Your guess is as good as mine. I'll put it that way. All right, that's going to do it for us today. We'll be back on Friday with something. We're not into the regular schedule yet, but we're getting close. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.